Have you ever thought to yourself, I could never do that? Like, I could never homeschool. I could never be a stay-at-home mom. I could never go back to school. I could never switch careers or start my own business. Whatever I may be, let's talk to someone who gets it. My good friend, Katie Klein, popular homeschool content creator known as Little House Learning Co. And let's together trade this lie of I could never do that for the truth that I can do what I am called to do by Christ who equips me. Let's get into it.
Here's the deal. On any given day, we think 50,000 to 80,000 thoughts. But get this. Of those, let's say 50,000, 98% of them are the same ones from yesterday, which means we just keep thinking the same stuff over and over and over again, which is great if it's all true, all encouraging, lovely, praiseworthy. But with the father of the lies on the loose, out to steal your hope, kill your peace, and destroy your faith, my guess is they're not. I know you because I know me. Hi, I'm Heidi Lee Anderson, Christian author, cancer survivor, and social media content creator. And in every episode of the Trade a Lie for a Truth podcast, we're camping out on one thought and picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to follow the voice of truth above all else. His name is Jesus. Because in His words, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You ready? Let's seize the free, abundant life in Christ one thought at a time. Starting with this episode.
All right, y'all, you are in for a treat this morning because we get to talk to someone that I have known for a very long time. In fact, Katie Klein has been my best friend in real life for how long has it been now, Katie? I mean, I don't want to age us, but we graduated from college almost, 15 years ago? That's a little sick. But Katie Klein, if you know her, you love her. She is a big presence in the homeschooling community. And so I'm so excited to dive into this lie that I could never do that. I could never do blank. And for you, I don't know if that's like, I could never be a stay-at-home mom. I could never start my own business. Or maybe for you it is, I could never homeschool. I mean, that's me. I'm like hearing that lie and I want to battle that this morning so we can trade that for the truth that whatever God has called us to, I mean, we can step into it. So Katie, as a way to start every episode, we play two truths and a lie. And I feel like it's more pressure that I know you because I should be able to guess the lie. But I feel like, I don't know. We'll see. Don't be mad at me if I get it wrong.
I had to like reach down into obscurity because anything that's just like about your family or college career, I'm like, you're going to know. Yeah. Okay, so here they go. One, I was on ESPN. Whoa. Two, I always listen to my audiobooks at the highest speed, which is like up to 3x. And okay. My favorite subject in our homeschool is science.
Ooh, these are tricky. Okay, Katie, tell the people, because I know you read a lot of books. Have you kept track of how many books you've read so far this year?
I'd have to look for exact, but close to 100 maybe, like over 80. I've just been crushing them.
Yeah. No, so that's why when you say that, I don't know how fast you listen to audiobooks, but man, how many books you read, especially with little kids. Because you should tell everyone. I mean, I know your kids' ages, but tell everyone how old they are.
Yeah, my kids are 5, 7, and 9.
Yeah. So she has littles and they don't, I mean, when you're sitting down, they want to make a beeline to you, right? They don't just let you sit there. So I'm going to guess, I mean, you're a big history buff. So I'm going to guess is the lie that your favorite subject is science.
No, I actually love science. The lie is
Come on, I knew it when you did this right.
The lie is that I do not listen at the highest speed. I do listen like kind of high at like 2, except for your audiobook. When I listen to your audiobook, you're a fast talker like me. The only audiobook in history that I've ever listened to at like a normal speed. But the rest of them are kind of high, but not quite the max speed.
Okay, what were you on ESPN for?
So I was a baby, like probably 2, and my brother and I were being pulled in a sled at like a ski jump competition, but my parents have a recording of it and they're like, cute little twins on a sled at the ski jump on ESPN.
Oh my word. That is amazing. It's not every day that someone can say, I've been on ESPN. That's yes. Incredible. All right. Well, I am so excited to dive into this. Maybe would you mind sharing just a little bit of yourself to kick this off? We'd love to hear when you first heard this lie, like I could never. And when you first started toying with the idea of homeschooling.
Yeah, I think you know, looking back, I see so many seeds being planted. In high school, there was a lot of kids in my youth group who were homeschooled. And I remember thinking, like, I'd go over to their house and be like, this is so cool. You just, like, do your work and you hang out, you play guitar all day. Like, that seems like a nice life. You get to do kind of what you're interested in. Like, I was publicly educated in the school system and I felt like I had a good experience and I loved my teachers. I was really bored in high school, but I felt like, no, this is the right thing to do. You know, I just felt like there's so much about growing up that is tied to the school system that I was like, I will never homeschool. I never could do that. But then when we had our oldest, you know, he did not sleep through the night until he was almost 2 years old. And so by the time he was two or three and people were encouraging me to enroll him in preschool, I felt like, but he's still a baby. Like, he's not even sleeping through the night most nights. Like, he's just little. And I wasn't ready to send him to preschool. And it was super expensive. You know, in Minnesota, it's spendy. And so I started researching on Pinterest and just like little activities, like little tot schooling activities I could do at home. And through that experience, I encountered Charlotte Mason, who was a British educator at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. And just kind of her philosophy of education. And I felt like, whoa, this is really intriguing to me. It's very centered in the Holy Spirit and faith-based. And it just felt like, oh, this is different than just sitting down with like a workbook in a classroom at home, you know? And I really started to explore that. And through that, I just felt called to have my oldest do preschool at home. I thought, you know what? I can try this. You can't really screw up preschool. Like, we'll just try it out. And then really loved it. And I felt so much peace and confirmation that this was the route we should continue when our, you know, both of our oldest were in kindergarten that 2020 year. And I felt like, you know what, this is not the time we would want to jump in the school system if we hadn't already been a part of it. And so I felt like, well, let's just try kindergarten. Yeah. And here we are, you know, 6 years in and we've been homeschooling now for, since 2018.
Wow. All your kids, you homeschool. How do you do that? That feels like different grades, different subjects. It feels chaotic, but how do you do it? Because you are very organized.
I do think that you know, the best thing about homeschooling is you can make it whatever you want it to be. And so some families, they do all family subjects where if you're learning about history, you know, this one period of history, you're just making it accessible to your kids at whatever level they're at. You know, when you do math, you're all doing your math work at your grade level. But I think too, you know, for me, it's just being faithful and obedient in what I am called to do in the time that it's allowed. So I try to like map out my day a little bit and to really focus on what am I called to in this moment and to not let the other pieces creep in. Like, okay, this time is my time to be doing history with my oldest. And then after that comes literature with my middle. And then after that comes a preschool lesson with my youngest. It is kind of chaotic at times, but I think not letting, like, I'm not going to check my phone or I'm not going to letting all those distractions in. It is helpful to just have a schedule of somewhat, you know, and stick to that and just be faithful to each hour and what's there right in front of you.
No, that's a good word. When we talk about this lie, like, I could never do that. The Bible story that I think of right away is Jonah, right? And he's been called to go to Nineveh and he knows it. God knows it. But what does he do? He makes a beeline in the other direction, actually the opposite way. And he's going as far as Nineveh as possible. And he does not want to go there. And what I think is so interesting, and when I think about God's calling on our lives, is that God could have sent anyone, right? Like, Jonah wasn't the last person who loved God on the face of the whole earth. Like, he was just the one that God called. And what I love is that God could have been like, okay, Jonah, like, peace out. If you're not going to listen to me, you're not going to walk in the path that I have for you, then I'm out of here. I'm choosing someone else. No, like we know in scripture, he's prepared in advance good works for us to do, for us to step into. And I love that he tracked Jonah down. That he's like, I've got a path ahead for you that I want you to take. And I think sometimes when we're trying to figure out, like, well, is this something that I could do? Is this something that the Lord has for me? And I get questions like that, like, how do I actually know God's will? And what I think is so important from Jonah's story to take out of that is that, man, he sent a storm, right, to shake the boat that Jonah's on. Jonah's sleeping. I mean, he's napping on the job, and God sends this storm to wake him up. And I think in the same respect, I mean, we will know because God will send a storm almost in like our minds where we can't stop thinking about it. It might be a conversation that we have with people about that certain topic. It might be something that we keep being like, no, I'm waving that out of my mind. I'm not going to do that. That's not what I should do. But it keeps popping up. We keep hearing this whisper like, well, maybe I should. I think with Jonah, when he finally walked in the path that God had for him, I mean, we know that when they threw him off the boat, the storm ceased. And I think we find that in our own spirits. And when we're walking with the Lord, no matter how scary it looks ahead, like Nineveh, where it was known to be like modern day terrorists. And so we can understand maybe why Jonah didn't want to go, although fear was not his motivation. It was that he just didn't want them to be saved. But I'd love to talk about motivation with you and maybe in your, if with homeschooling, why we do or do not do something. What was your motivation to homeschool? And maybe what is a good posture to encourage someone who wants to homeschool?
You know, I think that with anything, like fear is never an enduring motivation. And I think especially with homeschooling, it can't come from a fear of the school system or what it lacks or what it does or does not do. It really needs to be out of abundance of what it offers, because when you're homeschooling and you're taking on so much more of your child's life, not just their academic responsibility, but you're also taking on their social life, and you have to do a lot more coordination when it comes to like, oh, my kids want to have a Valentine's Day party, you know, well, at school, I just send them and they do it. But with homeschooling, it's like, if they want to be in sports or see friends, like there's a lot more that you're taking on. Plus as believers, you know, you're taking on a lot of their spiritual development. It is hard, but I think that it makes it harder when you're homeschooling out of fear. With Jonah, he thought he knew better than God. He was resistant because he didn't think the Ninevites deserved repentance. And he was like, no, they're wicked. They're evil. I don't want to do that. I don't agree with you, God. And I think for me, I've really found in this call to homeschool and in like walking that out in faithful obedience, that I think sometimes God calls us not in spite of the challenges, but because of the challenges. So in my life and in Jonah's life, the challenges with homeschooling have shaped me into a better mother. They've shaped me into just a deeper soul dependency on Christ. And I definitely think the Lord can use other avenues to do that. But for me, I think some of this homeschooling call is because I need to become like more Christ-like. And God is using the avenue of homeschooling to make me more into the image of Christ. And you see Jonah, where at the end of things, you know, he is still like depressed that like God allowed them to have repentance and that he was merciful to the Ninevites. But God is still concerned about Jonah and about Jonah's heart. And he uses the challenges. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm calling you this, but it's going to be hard. It's like, no, I'm calling you to this because it's hard. And I think with your calling with homeschooling, like you really have to trust the Lord and to feel like, okay, it's going to be hard or it's going to be difficult or different, because there are so many wonderful gifts to homeschooling too. But you have to just realize that the Lord is using this not only for your kids' benefit, but is also using it for your benefit.
I want to also talk about like our hope, because I think that goes hand in hand, that what motivates us, well, in the end, we hope it accomplishes something, right? And I mean, you've talked about this. I'd love for you to share more with the people that are listening. I mean, when we do something, sometimes we have these results in mind. We have the end goal in mind. We think, okay, because I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to get blank. And we don't just move forward in our calling because we're obedient to God. We move forward in it because we want to get something from God. And I know you've talked about this with homeschooling being like how some people might view this as, okay, if I homeschool, then my kids will be saved. And I'd love for you to share more about that with us.
Yeah, I think it's honestly a common theme right now in our culture with the homeschooling conversation. I mean, homeschooling is exploding in the States. Like this year, it's up to over 5 million families that are homeschooling. Wow. That's just unheard of. You know, 20 years ago, it was like maybe in the 50,000, 500,000. just see the patterns of it growing. But I do see there's a narrative coming from Christian moms. They want good things, but they talk about how homeschooling is keeping your kids from X, Y, and Z. And the school system is feeding your kids to the wolves, essentially. And I just wish if I could convey any message to any mother is that, you know, the covering of the Lord goes beyond your home, that God has got your kids no matter what path of education you choose, and that there are no guarantees. You know, when we place our hope in homeschooling or any educational path for that matter, whether it's Christian school, public school, whatever, for a positive outcome, thinking, well, this is going to help my kids become Christians. This is going to help my kids lead a life that's faithful and true to Jesus. Like, we are essentially looking to that homeschooling or whatever it is as our functional savior. And I think we need to always come back to the fact that only Jesus saves. And that if we're looking to anything else for the outcome of our kids' faith, like, we are putting our hope in that instead of in Jesus. And if that is what, if the right educational path or the right parenting or any of these things is what saved our kids, then we wouldn't need Jesus. And we're essentially like eradicating all that he's done for us. And so we really need to always be putting our hope and our identity in Christ first and foremost, and not in the things that we're doing as parents as like, as a hope to save our kids. And that can be like what food we feed them, what toys we allow in our home. You know, it's all these things that we're feeling pressure as moms from our society, but just that, like, it's Jesus alone that's going to save our kids.
I love that verse from the Psalm that says, those who hope in you will never be disappointed. And I love that verse because our hope, when we have it on the right person, we won't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. I often think of that when we put our hope maybe on having a baby, or we put our hope on a certain career, or we put our hope on a bigger house. And if we set our things on these earthly things, even if they're good, you know, we will be disappointed because life doesn't go however we want. We all know that. We wish we had the control, but we do not. The good news is God does. When we put our hope in him, man, it says in scripture, we will never be disappointed. We will find at the end of our lives that our God never disappointed us, not even for a second. And I'm so grateful for that truth.
Commercial break!
If you joined us following Jesus' footsteps through my mom's Passion Week devotional, don't miss it.
She created a 10-day family devotional
called Hello, I'm Jesus, Discovering the 10 I Am, nicknames Jesus gave himself.
Want to know the specific names Jesus was so particular about wanting us to know?
Grab it now. Well, it's on sale under $10.
Yeah. Thanks, girly.
And also, what I love that you point out is that there are also many gifts that come from this. I mean, in general, there's many gifts that God gives to us when we walk in obedience, when we walk in the path that he's laid out for us. He's a good father that has good gifts. And I'd love for you to share about that with homeschooling. What are the good gifts that you've seen, especially as a Christian mom, from homeschooling?
Yeah, I think when we feel the lie of I could never, but then we are able to walk in the Lord's equipping, there's always gifts, right? The Lord doesn't call us to things that are not good, even if they're hard. And I think that with homeschooling, especially as a Christian parent, like, there's so many wonderful gifts, even though it would be so much easier for me to just send my kids to school. The gifts that we get, though, like, I feel like I could get teary about this, but, you know, the time that I get with my kids is something that I can never replicate. Like, I could never get this time with them if they were in the school system. You know, I think your average student is spending 15,000 hours in a classroom by the time they graduate. And those are hours that I get with my kids. And that's time that they get with themselves, like time to explore their own passions and interests, but also time that they get to build sibling bonds. And for me personally, you know, I graduated feeling like, man, I don't really know my siblings because we're busy, we're involved in church and sports and music, and it's a lot of like ships in the night passing, and I just didn't get to spend a ton of time with them. And for my kids, I really wanted them to have at least a foundational experience of shared memories and shared friendship and experience together. And I think also the time that we get allows my kids more freedom to be who they are and less pressure to conform to like societal or classroom ideas. ideas. I don't know. They just get to have more of a childhood. So time alone is like such a huge piece, but also studying scripture. You and I both like love teaching our kids about the Bible. We're both passionate about the word of God and that our kids would know the truth. And I think you can definitely teach your kids the Bible apart from homeschooling, but in homeschooling, it's like integrated into everything we do. And so in our history, in our math, in our science, like in all of these subjects, the gospel is woven into all of these things that we're doing. It becomes such a core part of our schooling. And it's really wonderful to see my kids grow and develop. The third biggest gift is for me just to see all of those light bulb moments. When you are a stay-at-home parent and you get to see your kid take their first steps, you're like, oh my goodness, this is all worth it. Like, it's so special for me to see this and to be here. And like, you know your kid, you know what they like to eat and what activities they like to do. And really, homeschooling is kind of just an extension of parenting in that way, where you get to see them make those connections, learn to read, like learn to multiply. And they're making those connections between what they read in their history reading and what they read in Shakespeare, you know, or whatever. And you get to just be there along for the ride. And so I think those are three of the biggest gifts I found in our homeschooling journey.
With this conversation, I mean, you homeschool your kids right now. I send my kids to public school. And so what I love about this conversation, though, is that we both acknowledge that God's calling for each family, it can be very different. But there are some good gifts where whenever we step into the call that God has for us, and maybe too, what God has called us to in one season of our life is not what he calls us to in the very next. Like, my kids have been going to public school, and now I'm really considering this next year starting to homeschool. And that can be okay. Like, wherever you are sitting, if it's like, well, I've done this and this is the path I've chosen. No, in the Lord, you can switch paths. You are not stuck somewhere. You can instead move forward in his power, in his strength. And I love too how we called out Hebrews 13:21 about our God equips us to do what he calls for us. You don't need to feel like, oh, I don't have the strength. I don't have the talent. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the time to do this. If God has called us to something, he will make a way. He is a way maker who will make the way. And so I'd love to tear down, just to end our time together. Katie, I'd love for you to share kind of the biggest roadblocks to people in particular that want to homeschool. There's some top ones. So I'd love to do like a rapid fire tackle these things. And you can maybe share more practically what this looks like to help those of us that are maybe wanting to take the plunge with homeschooling, but we don't really know how. We don't really know where to start. And so first of all, curriculum. Like, there's so much out there. And where do you suggest we even start? Like, how do you know which one is a good fit?
I think that what people don't always understand is that each curriculum is built upon a method of education. And so I think first it just starts with knowing what your family values. Like, what do we consider to be like a well-rounded education? What is our family goal in homeschooling? And then from there, exploring some of the main methods of homeschooling. So classical, Charlotte Mason, traditional, unit study, even like unschooling, Montessori, you know, Waldorf. Those are some of like the main ones. And then from there, finding a curriculum. You know, it's kind of the same as you wouldn't go to your friend and be like, hey, what foundation do you wear? Because their shade wouldn't match. So when you just order what your friend recommends, or, you know, somebody that you follow online or whatever, it's maybe not going to be a fit for your family because you have this underlying values that just don't align with that curriculum's method of education. So I think it starts with a method and then finding what works for you.
And then knowledge. Like, what if you don't know the subject? Like, for me, my daughter came home talking to me about the War of 1812. I'm like, say what? Like, I am no history buff. It's like, oof, help me out. What do you do in a situation like that where you're like, I got to teach my kid this, but I don't really know anything about it?
Yeah. Well, my favorite part about homeschooling as a parent is that I am reclaiming my education as an adult. So even some of these things that maybe I did learn, but I have totally forgotten, I get to learn alongside of my child. So I don't see myself as an expert who is like talking down to my children. I see myself as a co-learner. Charlotte Mason talks about a friend, a philosopher, and a guide. And that's like my role as a teacher, is to be alongside them with it. So at a practical level, there's so many things that you can outsource. Like, especially a lot of people are intimidated by like high school math or chemistry or whatever. We live in the world where there are almost too many resources. And if you don't know, it's like you just learn with them, or you can just outsource it to an online course or a workbook, or honestly, another homeschool mom even. There's a lot of options.
Okay, and then socialization. Like, some people picture homeschooling just being stuck inside your house with your family all day, every day. But I know you guys get out quite a bit. So can you tell us more about that?
When I read books about the history of homeschooling, especially in Minnesota here, that's kind of how homeschooling was. Like, in the beginning, you know, it only became legal in 1987. So a lot of families, even in like the early 90s, could still be reported for truancy if like their neighbors saw them out and stuff. So a lot of these families were sitting in their basements and we need to stay inside. We can't go to the store unless it's school hours. And so one of the great things about 2020 is that homeschooling has just become so much more accessible to our communities and people just understand it more. And there are a lot more options for involvement and community enrichment. So, you know, for us, my kids are in a classroom type setting at least 3 days a week. You know, we're doing BSF, we're doing our co-op, we're doing our nature club and swimming lessons, we're doing church. You know, there's just so many activities that almost we have to remember that homeschooling should take place at home, because there are options that we could literally be gone every day, all day, doing things that are valuable and worthy. We just have to like prioritize what is best. But the best part about homeschooling socialization, I think, is there is so much more parental involvement. So kids are still kids. You're still going to, you know, it's not like, oh, I homeschool, so there's no bullies or there's no this or that. But there is a lot more parental oversight. So we are getting to know our kids' friends in the context of their family. When my kids are playing with their other kids, I'm like, oh, I know you, and I know your sister, and I know your mom, and I know your other brother. I think that the socialization piece, what people are actually asking is my kid going to be weird? And I think the reality is like, that depends on your parenting much more than it depends on your homeschool or public school. There's weird kids everywhere. And it does take more effort as a homeschooling parent to make opportunities for friendship and to really value that, especially as kids get older, and especially girls, you know, like preteen girls, they just like need a buddy. So saying yes whenever you can as a homeschooling parent to seeing friends and to being in community, but it's not the big bad boogeyman as much as people make it out to be. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I hear ya. Okay. So to wrap up this live, like, I could never do that. Before we dive into my favorite lightning round of questions, I want you to hear us clear that wherever the Lord has called you to, that you can do it through Christ who gives you strength. And I want to share Gideon's story as we wrap up, because as God is calling him to go and fight these Midianites, and granted, I am not equating our kids to the Midianites, so I'm not doing that with the perspective of homeschooling, but when God calls him to go fight these Midianites, when Gideon is so overwhelmed with the question, how? Like, how in the world am I expected to go confront these bullies who are tearing me down day after day? The key in that passage in Judges 6 is God says, go in the strength that you have. Am I not sending you? As in, you do what you can do, and you can trust that God will show up and he will take it from there. He will do what only he can do. And so wherever today you feel like, I could never do that, but for whatever reason, you feel called to it, you feel like that is the path ahead of you, God keeps planting the idea in your mind, I hope you can trade that lie for the truth that it is God who is sending me, and that I just need to do what I can do. I can just go in the strength that I have, and my God will take it from there. So thank you so much, Katie, for joining us with this. I would love for you to share more about like where we can connect with you, what resources you have for homeschooling, because man, you have a lot. I would just love for you to share all of that before we dive into some fun questions.
Yeah, so my blog and my curriculum shop is at littlehouselearningco.com. I'm on Instagram at littlehouselearningco. I do offer a homeschool 101 course for families who are trying to get started. It's a bunch of videos and printables for you to really feel equipped and just peace about getting the best start possible. I have a couple of other mini video courses. I also have a preschool curriculum called Let Them Be Little Preschoolers. preschool and a couple of faith-based resources, Habits and Hymns, Signs of the Savior at Easter and Christmas. And then I'm launching a kindergarten here in April called A Quiet Growing Kindergarten. So yeah.
Yay. Okay. And y'all, if you're anything like me and you are on the edge to homeschool, I literally cannot recommend her homeschooling course enough, like to the point where I wish I could brag on you all day, but she knows so much. In our friend group, we joke around that if we have any questions, if we don't know anything, we just need to ask Katie, and she's bound to have done the research. Like, she knows things inside and out. And so even down to like, what does my state require for homeschooling? I mean, she knows it and she tells you all about it. Click on over after this if you haven't checked it out, because it will so bless you. And then Katie, to wrap up our time, we love to end with some lightning questions. And Ty had some silly ones. I'm not going to do the ones he recommended because he wanted me to ask you, what sin have you been struggling with? And I'm like, I don't know if we need to go there for like lighthearted questions, but
I feel kind of go easy on me.
Okay. No, the first one is easy. Which one do you love, Michael W. Smith or Stephen Curtis Chapman?
Well, Stephen Curtis Chapman all the way. I was not a Michael W. Smith girl, but Stephen Curtis, I'm diving in.
It's funny that you say that, because that is the one song that our volleyball team, literally was the first song on our worship or on our warm-up playlist. And I love it. Only a Christian college do you warm up to. Yes. Stephen Curtis Chapman, I'm diving in. I love it.
You're good.
Okay, question number two. Would you rather do hands up or knees bent during worship if the song hits you good?
Well, on your knees for sure.
You would?
Oh, yeah. I like sit down during worship if I can't focus. You know, like you got the people in front of you and you're like, okay, I'm so distracted by your dress or whatever is going on with your kid.
It's always the kids, right? I was laughing at this reel where it's like, kids sitting in front of you during church and basically just staring at you the whole time, you know, and you're like, hi, like trying to be nice. But then after 20 minutes, it's like, okay, you're a little distracted right now. Okay, number three, how much time has to pass after your kid pukes before you'll take them to church?
Ooh, I'd say at least 24 hours. Isn't that the golden rule, 24?
I mean, I think it's the golden rule, but I'm not sure if I'll abide.
Yeah, we had a kid throw up in church last month, like just in the pew over, and I was like, oh, poor bud. That just has got to be the worst experience.
It's too bad.
When you got a lot of kids too, you're like, well, somebody's sick every day. You know, we're just going to go with it.
That's the thing. I know, we just left church yesterday. Hazel is down for the count the day after, and it feels like whenever we go to church, we're gonna get sick. But
yeah, when we're homeschooled, it's like we're gonna get sick anywhere we go. It's good for their immune systems. I'm like, go on and get exposed.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, number four, I know you love names, and so I think this one will be interesting, but in the Bible, you know, God sometimes gave new names to people, and for you, what maybe would you want your new name to be and why?
I do love names, and I feel like that was the hardest part about being pregnant, was naming my kid. I don't know, because I like the name Katie. I think it's cute. I do feel like it was overused for my generation, but like when I meet another Katie, I'm like, oh, cute name. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to trust the Lord with that one. I'm looking forward to heaven where we get a new name, new bodies. You know, it's going to be good.
That's a good answer, Kate. That's a good answer. Okay, last question. How often do you think about bringing up Calvinism versus Arminianism?
Well, actually, my husband and I are in a unequally Calvinistic, Arminianistic
marriage.
Kind of like you and Ty, where you're like, you know, one's more charismatic, one's less. So it's good. That's I love it. I love the dialogue. I love the conversation. I feel like that's something in college that was like a heavy topic that people talked about all the time. But as an adult, I'm like, yeah, I just trust the Lord and he's good to go. I think too, when you get older, you just learn to live in the mystery a lot more. Like there's just so much that you just have to trust the Lord for and walk in faith and just be like, I don't have all the answers. And that's good.
Totally. I know. It is a good place to get to realize I do not have all the answers. Because when you're young, I feel like as a new Christian, you could maybe think that, but man, do we have a lot to learn. You know, God has new things.
Through maturity,
for us.
Yeah.
Oh my word, for sure. All right, well, to end our time, would you mind praying for us to send us out?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for this time with Heidi and for everyone listening. I pray, Lord, that the things that you are calling these women and these listeners too, Lord, that we can just walk in your calling, that we can be obedient to just the things that you have called us to and our family to, and that we can walk that out in faithfulness, trusting that you will equip us every step of the way. Lord, we know that you are faithful and that you will surely do it, Lord. And we trust you in all things. We trust you as we hand our children to you and as we just live out the callings that you have called us to. And so thank you for all of this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.